Thank you for joining us for another grace-filled message provided by Gordon Claassen. Gordon is the founder and senior elder of Kingdom Reign Ministries, Cape Town, South Africa. His ministry and calling is to bring the church into accurate alignment with biblical and eternal standards, empowering all generations to become future leaders and true sons of God. We hope that this message will be a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose in and through the body of Christ.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, greetings in the name of your Lord and my Lord. What a wonderful privilege and time that we have dedicated unto the Lord by listening this morning to His Word once again. And it is my privilege to share this Word with you. I in my spirit, I just feel the need to return to our discussion on the book of Ephesians, because I stop in trying to explain the relationship between Christ and the church in Ephesians 5, and neglecting to fully explain the submissive role of the woman in marriage, because that position of woman is a prophetic position where the woman will express to creation how the church must submit to Christ. And the more the woman can fulfill this role and take this position, the more creation will understand the role that the church must play in the earth. So there is no other way for creation to understand or to see the role of the church by studying then the role of woman in marriage. And I'm exclusively dedicate this time to women and to men to understand, and to the whole of the church to understand this specific role. You may feel it is maybe I'm not married, so this is not for me, but it is the principle of submission that we want to discuss here. And this morning I'm going to dedicate a time mostly to talk about the distorted view of submission. And I want to touch on the distorted view of submission. But to start this message here, I would like to turn your attention back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and I'm only going to read verse 22 and 23. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Immediately, there's a comparison between Christ and the husband and the wife and the church. So as we go through this message, we must also keep this in mind. Now, the word there for submission, the definition of that word, means to willfully give your will to another. I repeat, the definition of submission means to willfully give your will to another. It does not involve the element of force or pressure. It is an act of the will. So whenever you take your position by force as a husband, or even as a wife, you have moved out of your legal standing. So to submit is the choice of a person submitting, not the command of one who wants to be submitted to. You cannot submit unless you want to. And no one can make you submit if you do not want to. Any man who has to force a wife to submit does not deserve to be submitted to. He is no longer worthy of submission. He has become a slave driver by force and fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 22 here in Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. As long as a man acts like the Lord, a woman should be in submission to him. Jesus never slept, is the church, scream on the church, or swore to his people. So submission is not based on what you say. It stems from how you live. We are not forced to follow him. We want to. Why? Because we see love. And this is why Jesus can say, follow me. Because, and we do it because we see love. Can you say this to your wife? Will it be determined by what road you wish to travel? In essence, wives submit to their husbands when they act like the Lord. When they act like the Lord. When for example, when your drunk husband says, I want money for a drink. As a woman, she believes that the submission requires her to give him the money, knowing that in his drunkenness, he will cheat, beat her, or cause pain to his own body. He even quotes scriptures when he wants the money. What must she do? Only submit when he acts like Christ. The Lord never asks anyone to buy him a drink and destroy him. He wants us to live. And this is how we approach these things. 1 Corinthians 7 is clear. If a woman holds to the standards of the Word of God and her unbelieving husband agrees to stay with her, let her not leave him, the Bible says. If the husband, the unbelieving husband, if he cannot live with her convictions, the Bible says, let him depart. No one should compromise their faith for their spouse. Don't quote scriptures to a woman if you don't have, or rather if you don't behave like Jesus. She wants a man like Jesus in her home. Now, the Bible is clear that God created man and woman equal, but in that he also created them different. So the assignment to husband and wife is the same. And the assignment is submission, or the assignment is dominion. So his purpose in the assignment of dominion is to be responsible for what came out of him. That is what a father is. You are responsible for everything that came out of you. Her purpose in the assignment is to be a helper. That's the primitive law. Society cannot change that. Even cultures can change, but you can't change the primitive laws of God. Because if cultures change, that change cannot change the purpose of God for marriage. Purpose, not culture. Cultural change determines position. The only way to fix a confused society is to get back to the original plan. Different does not imply inferiority or superiority. Different means different. A woman is not less than a man because she is a woman, and a man is not less than a woman because he is a man. Their differences are necessary because of their purpose. Now, God's order for wives, there are more references to the role of wives in the family than to the husband. The woman is responsible for everything in the home. Her role is more complex than her husband's. The word speaks to the woman four times more than to men. In a family, the wife is the link between the husband and the children. When she lives in her divine order, it draws both her husband and children to order. Therefore, Scripture addresses the wife first in Ephesians 5 verse 22, when he says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. head of the church. Now, the same way the church submit to Christ, like I've already explained myself a couple of weeks, so let wives also be subject in everything to her husband. Submission is really not a good word to an intelligent and sophisticated wife. God has called you to submit to your husband's leadership in marriage. This is the primitive law. The way you submit yourself to your husband reveals the way in which you submit to God. You can have no better relationship with God than the one that you have with your husband. To God, submission has a different meaning. To be submissive means to yield humbly and intelligently to an ordained power or an ordained authority. The example he gave us is that of the church being submissive to the rule of Christ. Far from being degraded, this is the church's glory. The church, it is our glory to submit, and we don't feel degraded if we submit as the church. The same way, a wife is not supposed to feel degraded when she submits to ordained authority. Now, he established his order for the protection of the woman and the harmony of the home. This is why God gave the man that ordained authority, so he can establish God's order and protection for the woman and also for the harmony of the house. He wants the wife to be sheltered from many of the rough encounters of life. So this is the beauty of submission, that woman can come under the shelter of the protection of a man. God gives you wives. God has given wives the opportunity to choose a submissive role freely. Even Jesus chose to submit to the Father. And God honored not those who clung to their rights, but those who choose to obey him freely. The Greek word, hupotasso, which is primarily a strong military term, means to put under the subjection of authority or become subordinate to another. God has called wives to place themselves under the authority of their husbands. A wife has to willingly choose to place her will under the will of another and become a servant within her home for the Lord. Not for him, but for the Lord. You may not like your responsibility to submit, but wives, remember that your husband's responsibility towards you, he has to protect, care, and watch over you. When you willingly place yourself in a position to receive your husband's authority, you will receive the benefits according to God's design for your marriage. Now, submission and authority in every realm of life, this is very important. 1 Peter 2 and 1 Peter 3 talks of that realms of submission under authority. He talks about submitting ourselves to our government for the Lord's sake. He talks about a servant must subject himself to his master as to the Lord, not only to good and gentle masters, but also to unreasonable and perverse masters. We must give our best to our employers while we are on the job. Until we learn to submit, we are not qualified to lead. We cannot bypass servanthood and think we can go straight into leadership without learn how to submit to authority. Now, the principles, I want to talk about also the principles and the benefits of submission. The principles and the benefits of submission. Number one, to submit, the first thing that will come to a woman is protection. So to submit is a means of protection. In this world, a woman is subject to physical attack and therefore needs a husband's protection. It is fundamental and universal and a universal fact, and is found in every culture and age. And so this is the fundamental laws that a man must protect his husband. It's not new. You will find it in all religions. Wherever you will go, you will see the beauty of submission. It also includes vulnerability at the emotional, and the psychological, and spiritual levels. She needs her husband's authority and protection. This is the way God has designed woman. It's a need for her to be under the authority of her husband and his protection. More importantly, a wife's needs for protection and also the protection not just of her physical part, but the emotional part. And sometimes, more importantly, a wife's needs protection from the emotional attack, even of the children. A mother should never have to ask her children to respect her. This robs her of maintaining a spirit of calmness and dignity for the entire household. It is the husband's responsibility to protect his wife from any abuse which the children might mount up against her. Should a father hear the slightest hint of disrespect towards the mother or disobedience towards her, he should put a stop to it at once and firmly. The children should always know that behind the mother stands the authority of the father. A husband who protects his wife from the abuse of the children instills in them a sense of respect for womanhood. This, together with his example of courtesy and consideration towards his wife, is part of the legacy that every father should make sure to pass on to his sons. Now, also, I said the principles and the benefits of submission. First, it is protection. Secondly, spiritual protection. It says in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So a woman is also subject to spiritual attack. So her husband stands as a shield and protector to his wife against assaults from the unseen world of the principalities and the powers that we have dealt with in past teachings. So the means of protection for the wife and also the benefits. 1 Corinthians 11:10, "For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." Now, there's many ways to interpret this portion of scripture, but her head must be covered as a symbol of her submission to authority. And I'm not saying that she must wear something on her head, put something on her head. The head is, in any case, her husband. She's under the authority and covering of the husband's. Paul recognized that a woman who is unprotected, that's the main principle, by her husband's authority, is open to evil angelic influence, demonic forces, especially along the lines of deception, like in the case of Eve. And her protection is founded in the is to come under the authority of her husband. Evils come upon churches and families because women have lost the protective shield of her husband's authority. We have Satan entice us to believe that it is degrading for a wife to be submissive and obedient to her husband's authority. The Bible has no desire to exalt any ego, male or female. The divine order set forth for the family serves the foundational purpose of protection. A husband's authority and a wife's submissiveness to that authority is a shield of protection against Satan's devices. When a woman lives under her husband's authority, she can move with great freedom in the spiritual things. God's intention is that a husband should stand between his wife and the world, absorbing many of the physical and the emotional and the spiritual pressures which would come against her. It is the husband, not the wife, who is primarily responsible for what goes on in the home, in the community, and the church. Now, the question immediately, what about single women and widows? What about single women and the widows? Under whose authority are they? Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. I'm very practical with the message this morning. 1 Timothy 5, from verse 3 to 16. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone, trusts in God and continues in the supplication and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his households, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lost strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Verse 11, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossip and is busybody, saying things which they not ought, saying things which they ought not. Verse 14, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So the church becomes the protector. This is the whole idea of this portion of scripture, that the church becomes the protector of widows and orphans. She must look to the leadership of the church as her spiritual head. From them, she would receive spiritual counsel and protection. Her material needs also become the concern of the local church. The church has that spiritual power and authority to be that shield and protector which a woman needs. This principle could be put into practice if a husband were required by business, or let's say military service or other causes, to be absent from his family for a period of time. So she's not a widow, but if the husband will be away from his family for a couple of days and weeks and months, like I said, like in business or military service, he's supposed to bring his family under the care of the church leadership so that they can exercise that authority while the husband will be absent temporarily. Now, submission. Secondly, submission, apart from protection, is to bring social balance. Submission is a means of social balance. Galatians 3, verse 27 and 28. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So in the realm of the Spirit, men and women have an equal footing, equal in relationship with God. Paul is not preaching a political message of gender equality here, but rather referred to a very primitive law. Not even the coming of Christianity could be done away with it. This is called subordination from a woman to a husband. So subordination is grounded on the principles and laws of creation. Adam was formed first, then Eve. Adam was not deceived as long as he stood alone, but the woman was deceived and became the transgressor. I back my statement by 1 Timothy 2, verse 13 to 14, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. So that's 1 Timothy 2, verse 13 and 14. So God introduced them after that, after they have sinned in the Garden of Eden, God introduced a divine order or a job description and social laws for Eve. And the social laws for Eve was childbearing with pain and submission to her husband. And to Adam, the social law was simple. It was that he will toil the land with sweat. These burdens are laid upon us and cannot be shaken off. That's the social order of God. Genesis 3, verse 16 and 19, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, meaning that you shall always desire his position and his authority, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now upon man is laid the authority to rule, but the heavy responsibility of hard labor comes upon like a curse on the earth. Man is always looking for a way to pass on this care and responsibility and commitment. It feels like a curse to him. Earth is cursed, not the man in Christ. And I hope you understand that. So their childbearing is not a curse. To toil the land and to live from the sweat of your face is not a curse. God, nowhere in the Bible did God curse any man, any human being. He cannot curse the thing that came out of him. God cursed the ground. God cursed the earth because of Adam. But Adam was not cursed. So to work is not a curse. To have children and to give birth in pain is not a curse. It is just a social order. The woman is not afraid. And that I can see my whole life. Woman is not afraid to toil, but desires to rule. The continual self-denial of her own will is the heaviest trial. And that is so true, too, because she lives a self-denial life. And what I mean by that is to every day of her life willfully decide to submit to her husband's authority and rule. It's a continual self-denial of our own will. This yoke is so heavy that you cannot bear it without God. Any woman try to submit to her husband without submitting first to God, I tell you now, it is impossible to do that. No woman can do that. The burden of this life should compel them to seek God. husband, so many of them, unreasonable, obstinate, a bully. You can just name it, their ego, so many things. Always right. So hard for a woman to submit her will to such an attitudes. If we ignore these primitive laws of marriage, we invite marital problems. So another question will be that woman can ask, but what if the husband's decisions will lead the family into disaster? Man, that happens every day. Colossians 3 verse 18, wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. As is fitting in the Lord. Now, it is essential to distinguish now here between submissiveness and subservience. It's not the same thing. If your husband's judgment is wrong, the wife has to tell him so with respect. She must tell him with great freedom, and she must tell him in great honesty if she's not in agreement with him. So the judgment and the wisdom and opinion of a loving wife is a man's greatest asset. I hope every husband listens to this. And it saves him from many foolish mistakes. And it is a privilege to receive wise counsel from his wife. I would rather trust my wife's view than that of an outsider. A wife who never offers any opinion is not being submissive, but foolishly servile. She may let the decision rest with her husband when she offers her opinion, trusting God to give him good judgment. This is what a wife do. She don't overrule her husband. She speak her mind, give him her opinion, and then let the decision rest with him. And it is his work to work it out with God. Submissiveness is not a matter of mere outward form, but an inner attitude. I repeat this to all women, that submissiveness is not a matter of outward form, but it's rather an inward attitude. Outspokenness, let me say this to all women, outspokenness is not a sign of your rebellion. It is not rebellion. But silence can be. Because I've seen it so many years in working with marriages in the church, because beneath that silence is a deep disrespect and a rebellion against the husband. But sooner or later, God will place her in a situation where it will be exposed. Then she must deal with it from the inside out. So submission does not mean that one remains silent, leaving everything in the husband's hands. Submission to authority means that you put yourself wholly at the disposal of the person above you. She should not try to force her understanding and opinion through at all cost. She will have access to the very blessings which God intended to channel through her. It is in submission that the marriage benefits from her gift of intelligence. It is in her submission that the marriage will benefit out of her insight and out of her judgment. It will remove the burden from her to act with authority and responsibility when it pertains to the decision-making, which will inevitably balance the home and society. Now, I have come across the psychologist, Dr. Bruno Bethelheim, a psychologist, he says this statement. He said, he warns that too many husbands are becoming assistant mothers in their own homes. The fathers has become assistant mothers in the house, And then the woman, actually a woman, she actually exhorts him and encourages him by saying things like, why don't you change the baby, change the nappies and so on? What about feeding him while I go shopping? Get him dressed, I'm busy. They urge today's fathers to be a mother's assistant. But I say to you today, that's foolish advice. What's wrong with this, Dr. Bruno says, is the thinking that it adds to his parenthood. When a man strives to be a better father by acting like a mother, he is not only less fulfilled as a father, but also as a man too. Then he goes on, Dr. Bruno goes on, he said, a father's relationship with his children can't be built mainly around childbearing experiences. He says further, if it is, he is a substitute mother and not a father. And he says, lastly, a mother who shifts her unpleasant household tasks to her husband is downgrading her own activities in her children's eyes. And he says further, he said the blurring of mother-father roles can have harmful effects on children because many fathers now wash dishes, bathe the babies, and perform other traditional female tasks. Their sons often don't know what it means to be a man. If mothers and fathers do the same task, a child doesn't have a clear father or mother image. No wonder, says Dr. Bruno, so many boys and girls are mixed up about their roles in later life. He said, do not confuse your roles, mothers and fathers. Now, it is easy to remain submissive to one who palm off his responsibilities upon you and refuses to take the lead in family affairs. Now, I say to you, wives, don't ever allow your husband to give you responsibilities of making major decisions for the family. That isn't your role. Remember, you are never to take authority of something God hasn't made you responsible for. Why is that? Because in order to step into your husband's role, you have to step out of your own role as a wife. And you can't do it without being unfaithful to God. He is the high priest of your home. You may say, but if I don't take charge, nothing will ever get done. And this is true, so true in many houses. And I say to you, woman, that's right. That's exactly what needs to happen. That's exactly what needs to happen. Your husband needs to see some situations fail in the home because he didn't fulfill his role. Every time you pick up one of your husband's responsibilities that he isn't fulfilling, you are training him to neglect the things he needs to do. He will never be the man God has called him to be as long as you, wife, step into his role. He will just keep on passing off his responsibilities to you. The emancipation of women has brought many needed reforms, but has had the unfortunate side result of robbing women of security and of salary, which are her right. Women today are put upon their shoulders financial problems. It's not supposed to be like that. And to take the lead in raising children, it's not God's order. To represent the family to the community, it's not her divine order. It's not her role. To make major decisions, it's not her responsibility. To be the spiritual leader in the family, it's not her role. All of this is contrary to the divine order. A woman is not normally equipped by nature to sustain this kind of emotional pressure and still fulfill her role as wife and mother. This is clear departure from divine order. In church, more and more you see responsibilities have fallen upon women. They teach in the Sunday schools. They do the home visits. They lead the prayer meetings. They give spiritual guidance and so on. And men feel out of place because they have deserted their responsibilities. It stands open. They create, the men create a spiritual vacuum in the church. This is why spiritual things in God's house have taken on a feminine image and a feminine culture, because men is not taking their full responsibility. Girls are dominating church. They are dominating youth groups as their mothers dominate in other areas in the church. And boys grew up to follow in the footsteps of their fathers. So what do we think will happen in the next generation? But I can also tell you, in speaking to many women, women will be delighted if you can take your place in the church and to lead, and if you can take your place in the family, if you take your place in the community, women will be delighted because they know they cannot bear these burdens. A woman sitting with her children in church while her husband sits at home is one of the loneliest creatures in this world. Her head, which is her husband, must be with her in the presence of the Lord. I close. This, whether you look husband or wife, both of their roles are sacrificial roles. Women obey when they feel loved. Women can only fully obey when they feel loved. Husbands are the head of the house, and wives stands in a sacrificial role and not as rulers or lords. And the husband, he becomes the savior just like Jesus, and he will die for his wife. Adam was held accountable for Eve's transgressions. God holds husbands responsible for their wives' well-being. Now, this is the order of God, and I wish, this is my wish to see that we shall return to the primitive laws of God and not be deceived by what culture wants from us, what the political environment wants from us, what society wants from us, but we will return to the primitive laws of God, even if the situation is not ideal. Let us return to the Lord, and whatever is not right, whatever is not according to divine standard, we shall allow the Lord to come into our environment and set and help us as mother and father to set the order. Father, I thank you for your word this morning and the way you prefer to speak. And I pray this word that comes as a seed, oh God, will go deeper into the areas where it is needed. I pray, and I release strength impartation where it is needed. I pray that the weak areas, Lord, will be strengthened by the speaking of these words. And I pray that your words will bring light in the areas where there's ignorance, and destroy the ignorance, Lord, about your desire for marriage. And Lord, I pray as we stand before you, Lord, we bring our own rebellion and we bring our own disobedience before you. And I ask, Lord, for your forgiveness, and that you, O God, shall help us to deal with our rebellion against you, so that we can bring the spirit of submission into every realm where you have placed us. I bless the marriages, every marriage, Lord. Every couple that listen to this message, I speak a blessing over that family. I speak a blessing over that sacred covenant relationship, Lord. And I pray that much wisdom will come from this word, Lord. More than the preacher have given, Lord, will be given to those who are in desperate need of these kind of words. Yes, I speak favor, and I speak wisdom, and I speak rest, O God, over these principles, Lord. May these principles go deeper and cause rest into every husband and into every wife. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Grace and peace be with you. Amen.